we would get the final program out. It seems that we do have enough permission to sit on the bench in Christian Jesus. Thank you. We will, as I said previously, be sitting with the select committee on that day. What I want to suggest is that Mr. Romano, will you please update the program for us and distribute the final one? So let me have a copy of the final program, and then we distribute it for today. Just do another one, and we'll distribute it as an update. What I also want members to remember is that next week we sit on Wednesday as usual, but then we sit again, I think it's the 9th, which is a Friday. That's with ESCOM. So just remember that that happens next week, yeah, and our secret matches and so on. But let me just say to you, I've inherited the program. You can't come back. Yeah, it's not a misprint. You actually are sitting on a Friday. So please, those of you who make travel arrangements and things like that on a Thursday or on a Friday, whichever is applicable to you, please make special notes of that particular session. And the reason we've had to do it during that time is obviously because we're running out of time on the parliamentary program. And you will see that on the 20th, we now meet with the department on their annual report. Now that apparently is already in your program. The only question mark at that stage was whether we had permission to sit in the afternoon, should we have to go into the afternoon on that day, because there is a sitting of the House on that particular day on the 20th. So we have received permission. For also those of you who have things in the House on that day, make provision for with your parties or with your alternates or whatever it is, so that you are either here, or if you're not here, then somebody in your place is here to then deal with the department's issues, okay? Mr. Van Dyke, do you have a question?
Chairperson, yeah, I just want to put information. It came to my knowledge yesterday that it might happen that the last week of Parliament will not happen anymore. It might happen that the privacy of the Parliament might trust them earlier on that official program. So maybe we're not here. It's just like really short because the 20th is really off.
Yeah, that's why we need permission, Mr. Van Dyke. If permission is granted for us, it doesn't matter whether the House adjourns, we will sit as a committee because we've received permission. So please understand that unless the world comes to an end and Parliament is no longer standing, we will sit on the 20th. Mm-hmm. All right? Okay, anybody else with any questions on the program? No. Okay, so I take it as clarity. Just circulate it again, the same draft. But you'll know that this is now the final version and there's no changes to it henceforth. What we will be doing, it seems that there's some difficulty with some of the other portfolio committees having called people like the Pebble-based modular reactor as well as ESCOM, I think it's Minerals and Energy and Science and Technology. Mm. I will be speaking to those chairs, and we may have to sit jointly. Certainly what I'm going to propose is that we sit jointly rather than coming here on the 14th in the case of PBMR, and again having to come 2 or 3 days later to sit before another portfolio committee and make it essentially the same presentation, really. So we may have to sit with a bigger contingent of people, Mr. Romano, so please make note of that and deal with the venue issue accordingly. Okay. All right. All of that having been said, let me just remind members, Friday, 2nd November, between 9 o'clock and 10:30, Old Assembly Chamber, the Department of Public Enterprises and its allocation in terms of the medium-term budget policy statement. will be the subject of discussion, and the department will be appearing before the Joint Budget Committee, and members are invited to participate during that session. So those of you who are available on Friday, the 2nd of November, which is this Friday between 9 o'clock and 10:30 in the old assembly chamber. Okay? All right. Let me then just say hello to the members from Alexport. I don't know, I'm told that the board chair is delayed.
Almost
here. Okay. I think, Mr. Dapper, we can start. Perhaps you want to start by introducing your delegation. You then can proceed straight into your presentation. If by that stage your chairperson is here, and if they were meant to do any part of the presentation from the board side, that can just be slotted in. My only instruction to you at this stage is that I'm not sure how long you expect your presentation to be, but it shouldn't be longer than an hour and a half. I'll keep time, and if you're not done within an hour and a half, I'm going to cut you short. And I'm sure you will. I looked at your presentation, it doesn't seem to be all that long. So, over to you. Please begin by introducing your delegation, and then you can go straight into your presentation.
Definitely, I'd like to apologize on behalf of our recently appointed chairperson, Ms. Katie McLean. She couldn't make it to come with us here today. She had other prior arrangements made long before she was appointed as an Alexport board member. And she had requested Ms. Samloy to come and speak on their behalf. Ms. Samloy used to be our chairperson. Unfortunately, it's also running late, but she'll be there in the next 5 to 10 minutes. Then I'll move on to introduce the team from Alexco. My name is Zaman Mutaka. I'm the current CEO of Alexco. I've been with the company for the past 2.5 years. Next to me, Steve Domen, is our acting chief financial officer. Team next to him is Gilbert Sluter, Ulima Gilbert Sluter, our HR manager. And he is chairing our company's office. And I will also take this opportunity to introduce Anthony, who is also our company has from the DP office. And then I'll move on to the presentation that we handed out to you. Turn off the light. Can you all see?
Yeah.
That's the content of our presentation this morning. We go back and just review some of the issues that were raised in the previous briefing on Alexco. Then we'll go over an overview on Alexco, cover the health and safety methods, look at the financials, and some of the challenges of we are facing as a company. And also the initiatives that we try to implement over the period to improve performance, concede on last remark, and also look at some of the positives that we believe could help and take Alex forward, look at the social aspect, and also some of the litigation methods. Just on the background, in our last briefing, there were some key issues that the committee has raised that we need to address when we come here again, and we have pulled four of those key issues for review and give you an update. Some of those responses are covered in the presentation. I may not cover them on the 4 points here, but we'll go through the presentation and highlight the feedback. One of those key aspects was the need for Alexco to come here and present a longer-term strategic plan that details and concrete. At this stage, we have not been able to do that. As you are aware, that we have just resolve the land claim, which has already been if you like, a barrier to Alice for developing a long-term strategy. I'm happy that our settlement set out a framework for Alice to develop a long-term strategy. We're currently working on implementing that deed of settlement, guided by our shareholder, CPE. And at this stage, a joint board has been established. The company is in the process of forming a joint venture with the company, with the community, and together we're going to formulate the long-term strategy. And I see that happening in the new year. The second point there was Alice committed to show some improvement in performance compared to the previous period. Unfortunately, in some way, we have not been able to show that. But I think in an area that matters the most to the management, and an area which was in management control, we have been able to show some good improvements. And I'm proud to say that we did achieve something that, again, we'll show you some numbers in the presentation. And then the third point was just the request for more information on the performance measurements, and also provide the implementation. And the last point, again, relates to the strategic objectives. We pulled some of those key strategies, one or two of them, where we have actually achieved something. And we also highlight some of our failures. Company background, Alexco is essentially a diamond mining company. However, due to the location where we are, we have to take over other responsibilities like establishing a town, managing the town, providing social services like hospital and sports services. We also have a farming business unit. And one of the strategies there was to influence all these assets and maintain focus on the mining business and also develop well-coordinated exit strategy to discontinue or dispose of the non-core assets and focus on the mining business. We've achieved one or two things there in that area, and I'll highlight that in our presentation. That's the organizational structure. Alibaba Bay Mining, we mine diamonds from sea as well as land. The bulk of the production is coming from sea. Historically, 80% of the production and income will come from the sea, and then 20% from land. And unfortunately, the cost, you know, that we didn't care was to come from the land mining. And that is already a problem, and we highlighted it in the past. The non-core assets comprise the airport town, the guest houses, the ABC, that's the farming business unit. Ostrich farm, we run a dairy, we have a marriculture farm, we also do some plantation, and we classify that as a non-core asset. I'm also happy to announce that some business unit we're now in the process of transferring it to the community as part of the settlement agreement. That's our vision and mission. Unfortunately, we have not realized our vision, and we're not kind of achieving our mission of, you know, exploiting diamond profitably. I hope that will change in the due course. That's just the location showing where we are and our concessions. You know, the area in red indicates Alexco's concession both on land and sea. And then the blue on the southern side is the concessions held by other mining companies, predominantly the Bios. And the little map just shows to you where the diamonds came from. I don't think we're going to be detailed in the geology and that. This is the slide that highlights Alexco big challenge of not being able to generate sufficient income. That's just an index showing where we were in 1992, that's relative performance, comparing 2008 to 1992, that was like 17, 15 years ago. We've seen some good performance from the marine over the years since, you know, the operation commenced just before 1990. And it peaked in 2002, and if you recall, those were the years where Alexco showed some good profits. I think for 3 years in succession. But if you look look at the land mining, the bottom graph, if you look at 2002, that developed on the decline for years and years and years. And currently sitting almost close to the zero line if you look at 20th performance. And unfortunately, that's where we carry costs because we have full time employees, over 200 people, who, you know, their activities on the mine are related to land mining. And then the marine side, we actually outsource the mining, and we sort of share in the revenue that we derive from the sale of damos. So the mining is done by contractors. And then the blue line shows you the overall performance in terms of revenue generation and cash flow, which is related in the decline. And I think for me, the concern was that, you know, nothing has been done. The downward trend has always been there, and we never acted on it for reasons that one will understand. And one of those recently included the land claim. And prior to that, there could have been other issues that are not aware of. That also shows you, it's a follow-up to the previous slide. The blue bars show you where land mining was in the early 1990s. That's where the core production of the mine came from. You can see that it has been a big decline, almost on zero, you know, 10,000 compared to 150,000 in 1992. That's a decrease of tenfold. There's been a problem there. Again, the downward trend, nothing happened to correct it. I think the big issue there is we did not invest in exploration, it's as simple as that, and also capitalize the mine. When you run a mining business, you tend to have a 5 to 10 year plan, which is renewable. As you explore the reserves, you must replace them, and there has to be an ongoing exploration investment program, which was not the case here in Alexco. And now we find ourselves in 2008, we have no capability to mine or to run a mining business properly, which I think is a very difficult situation. That shows you the total performance and the current production, which is a revenue driver. And once your revenue driver comes down to from a level of over 100,000 carats in 2001 to less than 40,000 in 2007, and then you have a sales problem. And at the same time, you're carrying costs, which are fixed. You can't really make inroads in reducing costs. And you can't increase your output, and then you have a serious fundamental problem. To highlight that in 2006, that big jump was actually an adjustment where we reflected our revised rehabilitation liability, which historically was captured at about 15 million, increased to 33 million, and then we did a recent estimate which shows that liability to be about 200 million, and that's reflected from our financial statements. These are some of the graphs that I referred to earlier on, showing you the detailed cost performance measurements, showing you the tons produced, tons per ton, and the revenue per ton produced. I don't think I'm going to go into details, but you can have a look at the slides, and if you need me to go back and from that to the details, I'll do that. But you can see the trend. The bluish, dark blue line is actually the rendition, your cost per ton, gram per ton of the material that you mine. 2005-06, you see a downward trend, but now it started picked up again. And I can give you reasons why that's the case. And the diamond production is in blue. We've seen some steady performance over there, although it's at the low base. The times of just is the line coming down, especially when you look at this year, because we've actually put land mining on, if you like, care and maintenance. You know, the more you try and mine, the more cost you incur, and there's no likelihood of you getting more revenue. So it's actually working better now. although the carbon production is reduced, the costs are not going up, especially with consumables, diesel, maintenance. Bearing in mind that we're running with old equipment, you know, every second day you must fix this part, you know, one part to another in that machine, and that costs you money. These machines have been used for the past 14, 15 years, and usually they have a short life, five years in which replacing could be on your mining company. That's a similar slide showing the marine mining activity. And the tonnage is impacted by the what's normally says lack of sea days. As we use diving operations, when the sea is rough and the beach underwater, we don't operate. And somehow there's a phenomenon that the trend is just coming down for some scientific reason that we haven't done research on, and that trend is not changing. And if you remember, this is where 80% of the income, this is a dependence on the mine, which will then, the income will be used to subsidize other business units, as I mentioned earlier on, the town, the farming business unit, the hospital, which is not transferred, and also the land mine, which we know, will never make a profit. That's just the total money activity showing the combination of the two slides that I showed previously. The big part, you can see the cost going up and the tonnage coming down. The blue, the smaller bar of your revenue, that's how it's very little. And again, this is a reflection that you need to have an overview that you outline in terms of your reserve, tonnage, grade, and the mining level, tons per month. You need to have a plan like that, which we don't have. We actually, these programs come out, we look around for a block that we can mine for a month or two. Once it's done, we move elsewhere, to use that proper mining. On health and safety, it's unfortunate that I report that we had an incident end of September, where one of our divers drowned underwater in a diving accident. We had not had one in about 18 months. The last one we had was in January 2006. It was very, very unfortunate that we had such an incident. We have made sure most as we operate that we try and run campaigns to prevent such incidents from happening, and we were very unfortunate. Those are the safety threats which look at that for now. Some of the financials, I think I've covered some of these. These are just the numbers, the percentages showing the movement when you compare the current year, the 2007 financial year to the previous year. You can see the diamond income production decreased by 22%, which I think is a big decrease for any mining company. The crisis when you have a drop in production for your commodity of that magnitude, from 43,000 to 33,000, that's a big drop. And then total revenue went down from 154 million to 133, and the diamond income as well went down. Operating loss a lot less. You recall that in 2006 we had that adjustment on the environmental rehabilitation of about 179 million, which was impacted negatively on our income statement. And also to highlight that with the settlement of the land claim, we're going to transfer all the assets which are related to that claim, especially on land, the houses in town. We've identified all those assets. And we're also going to get some compensation from the land claim commission. The way that accounting works with government as well, we're not going to get the full value of the assets. Because we got them for free, if you like. So what we're realizing is the capital gain from the assets. And hence that impairment on the balance sheet.
some adjustments on my financial statement. Again, there are the pension liability and the post-retirement liability, medical liability. One was negative, the other one was positive. ABT continues to operate at a loss, about 6.5 million rand. Non-coactivity was diluting the loss to 12 million rand. Not the town, municipal services, and the whole loss. That's the consolidated financial performance. You're looking at 19 million rand loss compared to 205. Just one thing to highlight there, this amount, I think item number 6, other income, that includes the 32.9 million rand that we received from the state from the beginning of November. I think there's about 2-3 payments. Totaling 32 million rand. Had we not received that, that 19 million rand would have been around 15 million rand loss. That's the financial position balance sheet. You can see that the impairment in 2006, total assets 541 million rand. 2007, 736, besides claimed area. Cash flow is at end of the year, the 1 March, we were sitting at around 56 million rand. And I'll show you a breakdown of where we are now in terms of the cash position in the slide that is to come. This is just the segmental reporting showing you the different business units at Alexander Bay Mining. If you look at the gross operating loss, not accounted for 4.4 million rand over 22 million rand. If you look at the back total column, which is about 20% of your total gross operating cost. What this slide tells you is that 80% of your gross operating loss has nothing to do with mining activities. And remember that the mining activity is the one that generates revenue. So then you go and finance 80% of your loss-making operations, which is a fundamental problem there. And then the bottom line again, that's what it is. And then you have the other items, administration costs, which you'll have if you have a mining company. Can get back to the slide if you want to ask more questions. And then the hospital cost 3.2 million to maintain, but now that cost will become a saving as we transfer the hospital as from the 1st of April this year. Same with ABT, hopefully in the near future. The running of the ABT, the management of the ABT will be the responsibility of the community. Just the breakdown of where our revenue comes from. There's no variation there if you look at the two periods. The bulk of the revenue is 85% to 86% from the money activities. 13% came from the non-money activities, which account for 80% of your operating loss, which in my view is the problem. This is just a breakdown of the current production. The mining area on land, we had Redford Corp, which is an area, a small land mining concession, which was granted to the local environment groups. In 2006, there was no activity there. At least this year, we've seen some activity and some encouraging results coming from that corporation. Maize Block, it's an area where we plan to operate. It's a dump. There's an old dump and also some blocks which we could have mined. However, that area was found to be sensitive, as the committee was concerned that we shouldn't operate there, and we did not operate at Maize Block for the past 2 years, although we had planned to do so. In fact, we actually threatened with a court interview when we insisted that we were going to go out and mine there. Then Alex for own mining. I think that's an area where we see some improvement when we compare the actual current production in 2006 of 6.7 6,500 cutoff to 10,500 cutoff last year, which I think commended was a good performance, considering what the losses that we had. And I think that's the highlight I wanted to make when we said we showed some improvements in some areas. And that was good because you generated more revenue, which enabled you to carry some of the costs of maintaining a workforce and then mining. That went a long way in helping to offset the operating loss. Contractor mining, we've outsourced from two mining areas to two small contracting firms, which are doing very well. Marine mining, that's where the big problem is. You know, actually, in 2006, Karat produced 30,000, last year, 17,000. A big drop. 4 years ago, as you saw, it was 80% of 80,000 Karat, which is a big number. It's over 60,000. To me, that's an area. And we don't have the ability to use other methods. Because you require funding to have a ship like DBS will have. It's a billion rands to ensure that you implement appropriate technology to export your marine deposit. It's an issue only. So, and then the pie charts show you the changes. As you can see, the 69% of the income last year in 2006 came from marine, and this time around only 53%. I think what interesting to note is that our export oil mining crews moved from 16% to 31% in terms of contribution to our current production, which was good. These are our own employees, where we deployed them. No, those are our own. If you look at that chart, because contract mining, which are those two contractors I mentioned. And then marine mining is also contractors. We've outsourced the diving operations about, now we're sitting at about 10-6 different mining companies, small CCs and, all mining is where we have our own permanent employees operating plants, operating machines, trucks, and all that. And that's where your cost base sits, because fixed, you have to pay people salaries every year and also pay them an increase every year, irrespective of the production. Again, that's just the breakdown of the revenue. 7% from Alex's own mining crews to 22% this year. Marine went down from 80% to 60%. In line with the decline in current production. I think if you look at the actual numbers, you can see Alex's own mining crews. In 2006, the revenue was 9.5 million rand, and that increased by 10 million rand, 11 million rand, 24 million in the last year, which I think is good. Marine, big problem. 100 million in the previous year, 5 million this year. Just an overview of Alexco corporate plan. Our plan, that's what I've listed to our shareholders, based for this current financial year, based on the assumptions that nothing will change at Alexco. We will continue operating with the resources that we have, and also without solutions to the challenges that we have had in the past. And one of those includes select mining plan that's linked to your exploration program. That's also driven by your investment plans. To do exploration, you need capital. We don't have that. We don't have an exploration plan. We don't have a mining plan. So we budgeted to make a loss of 70 million rand. And when you do when you include all the provisions, when the 2 million rand, that's what we budgeted. And also a forecast of 40 million rand shortfall in working capital, which means you need 40 million rand in order to have, at the end of the year, 0 rand in your bank account. You need 40 million rand. And I think that's the amount that we requested and government assisted. As it was announced last month, we're currently getting 5.1 million rand a month from government to fund that shortfall, to fund that 14 million rand shortfall in working capital, and also to maintain operations until we have a plan which is linked to the settlement of the land sale. That's just a slide showing what the sum of the numbers that I showed you earlier on, that total was of 70.9 million rand. If you look at the breakdown, ABM, land mining operations, revenue of 53 million rand, 36 from all mining, 17 from land contractors, 69 million from marine, and that's a total of 123 million. And if you look at the expenditure, 150 million. So the expenditure exceeded revenue by 26 million, that's your operating loss. All mining, 66 million and operating loss. And if you look at the mining, you know, loss, profit loss situation, the loss is as a result of our own mining. Because the mining contractor show a positive contribution of 25 million, the land contractors show a positive contribution of 4.6. So you don't need the land mining because that's the one that's costing you money. Under the current format, you need to change the plan. ABG 3.74 million rand loss, non core 5.7 million, and that means 35 million rand, that's 70 million rand at the bottom. And that's your admin, the breakdown of your admin, the settlement expenses, consumables, and as you can see on the list, depreciation, security services, those are some of the things that you incur, whether you operate or not. That's our current focus to year end. This was done as of end of June, so we're going to review this forecast and incorporate the actuals for the past quarter. But the net loss before termination was forecast to be for 2.5 million rand for the year end. And this has always been our headache, the trend, available cash in the bank. And this is where you do your drawdowns or payment of salaries, payment of your creditors, and then those are the two crucial payments that you want to make sure that you have money on a monthly basis. Adequate money. As you can see, we touched zero in November 2006, and that's where we got an injection of 32 million rand. And then we're getting this 5 million rand a month, and also some income from the diamond that we produce. And that varies, you know, depending on whether you're having a better month or a bad month. So we're just hovering around there between 0 and 10 million rand. That's our cash position. And this is not good at all. And it's painful if you're running a company and you look at this line. It's not good. It's one of our frustrations on the market. I'll show you where we stand now. Basically, about 5.1 million rand. That's where we're sitting now. That's the cash in the bank. That we can use, not in the trust. That's the breakdown of all the cash. We received some, if you recall, it was the amount that Alex was allocated 8 million rand last year from the government. That included the 32 million rand. So if you remove that 32 million rand has been used, it's not there anymore. We had about 20 million rand for the township establishment. There is 2.2 million rand for the implementation of the deed of settlement, and 4.8 million rand that we granted to do some rehabilitation work on the Boku Bank reserve banks. And then the current balance on those allocations, for 1 million rand left, 18.6 from the township establishment, 20.8 from deed of settlement. We spent some money buying equipment to do the application work. We left with 2.4 million left. And then the money in the trust was 7.8. That's for other unforeseen claims. And then the working capital, which is where you draw down, is 5.1 million. So if you look at our cash flow and balance sheet, you see that 54 million rand, but that you cannot use to finance mining operations. The only amount available for that is 5.1 million rand. That's the peak. See, those two slides that I showed you, if you analyze them, then you have a problem. Operational losses will have an impact on how this company continues going forward. As I mentioned earlier, we would have been unable to pay salaries and at the end of August 2007. Fortunately, we were receiving that 5.1 million rand from the beginning of September, which is going a long way in helping stabilize the financial situation. If that didn't happen, then directors would have traded recklessly. The long-term provisions, such as the cost of the family medical aid and the rehabilitation, amounting to close to 280 million, then would become due and payable immediately. And that only is going to bring some other dimension and challenge, because we don't have the provisions to cover those that amount. So to address this in the short term, the board requested the shareholders assist in providing funding to the tune of 44 million rand. 34.7 million of that amount was to cover the operating loss, and also have some 10 million rand for the working capital funding in order to sustain operations until 1 March 2008. And I'm happy to say that that financial support has been granted with the help of DPE. And finally, the PSJV, the pooling and sharing joint venture, which has recently been established following the settlement of the land claim, is tasked with developing a long-term business plan for Alexco. I can't tell you what the details of that plan is right now, but obviously you need to come up with a long-term plan that comprises the profitable mining operations. So the details of that plan will be worked out as soon as the joint venture appoints a management committee which will run that joint venture operation. If you want to see in the you can.
But in terms of the settlement agreement, with the transfer of the land mining rights to the community, the funding and sharing joint venture will be established between Alexco and the community's mining company, which is well mining company. The land mining rights will be held, will be transferred and held by the community. Alexco will retain its marine mining rights and mining infrastructure and items. When this will be put under the control of the joint board, and in that joint venture, Alexco will hold a 51% interest, and the community's mining company of 49% interest. Now, that joint board will be responsible for appointing an executive committee, and that committee will come up with a business plan with related applications projections to go to achieve the viable mining intention.
Thanks. With respect to the strategic objectives earlier on, these are some of the key performance objectives that the board of Alexco defined in 2005. So the first one is, I think, key to any mining business is the establishment of a mineral reserve base, which then will dictate what kind of a mining plan you can put in place, what kind of investment program and level thereof you can put in place. That plan we have been worked on. And the next point there was to increase production through full utilization of existing plant equipment and labor, which is basically optimizing the resources, the use of the resources that we had currently. And I'm happy to say that we did that in the short term for a period of 18 months, and especially on the land mining where we employ, we have full-time employees. And as I've shown you in the slides previously, we've seen some improvement there over that 18-month period. But the sustainability of such a performance with the resources that we have, you know, we just couldn't achieve that. But I think what was good there was the evidence that, you know, people can work and you can achieve something if you're given the right, you have the right inputs to your problem. As you can see in the third slide there, good mining performance is reduction in cost, and our plan was to reduce the production cost to 26 tons per cubic, and also the pay limit to 1.5 carat per 100 cubics. We did not manage to achieve that, as you've seen in the slides, that I showed those graphs showing the tons and the length per ton, for the obvious reasons. And also assisting capacity building and national contractors. And this has worked on in the last year and a half. And we've seen some progress there, which I'll highlight later on in the presentation. Then point number five, the objective there was to develop a proper succession plan and fill all the key management positions, such as the mine manager position, metallurgical manager, environmental manager. I'm afraid to say that those positions remain vacant, and we actually lost people. You know, two key managers in the past 2 or 3 months, and the situation has worsened there. And to me, it's a grave concern. If you don't have a good management team, then you won't be able to develop a plan. And then point number six, the aim was to improve the level of diamond marketing by selling and realizing more value from the product. I'm happy to say that we managed to do that with some outstanding results, which I'll share with you later on. We now sell all our production in the open market. Maybe the question may arise with the state diamond traders, what's our view there? I think from Alex's perspective, we will support the state diamond trader. We want 10% of our production. Would have been the criteria of allocating that 10% and also an agreement between the producer and the state dimension, which I don't think should be a problem. Point number seven, the traditional trade and reliable IT systems. Again, this is a financial challenge, but with what we have, the current IT systems, we've made some improvement in terms of reporting. And data collection and analysis, which I think, you know, with what we have, we've been doing something in that regard. Point number eight, in terms of transfer of non-core assets, and also to eliminate cross-asset diversion. The only thing that, you know, we've done the influencing in terms of the reporting, the financials, but not the transfer, except for the hospital, the transfer. As from the 1st of April this year. Introducing remote mining techniques to reduce overlines from driving operations. Since I've been there, we've been going out to invite potential mining companies who may possess skill and financial capability to implement something like this on the mine. With the first tender who came in, we awarded the tenders to about 4 companies, but they were never able to start mining. We canceled those contracts. went again. We got four tenders for other four contracts. One made it to Cabo de Mar in July 2006. And that company was on site for about 6 months. With the proper vessel well equipped, and we believe that the technology could work. And unfortunately, they couldn't make it. And I'll share with you the reason why that didn't happen. And we've actually given up at this stage on trying emission with mining techniques. I think you need to go on a larger scale and get a dredger or a proper vessel, well equipped, but that will require an amount of $6 million to implement something of that scale. Initiatives by Alex to improve climate performance. We implemented the spaceship operation on all mining teams in 2006. We saw the diamonds in the open market, as I mentioned earlier on, introduced the remote mining vessels. We restructured the marine contractors to optimize performance. We actually reduced the number of contractors, because most of the guys were on site, but they wouldn't produce anything for the whole year. And so that was the point of the problem, even as a critique risk. So we actually canceled some of the contracts, non-performing contracts. We identified an exploration plan for land and marine concessions, identified capital expenditure requirements to sustain current operations as well as expand in the production. But those last 2 points were not implementable as we didn't have the funding that's associated with the progress. Some of the successes from the initiative, the three ships resulted in 55% including diamond production for our own mining teams, as well as 152% increase in the revenue for our own mining teams, which I think is good by any measure. Although small, I think it's significant. We managed to reduce the unit cost from 68 cents per cubic to 54 cents per cubic in 2007. The selling of diamonds in the open market, although had a decline of 15% in diamond income, we only had 15% decline in diamond income. It's quite a decrease in production, as well as the amount of special stones that we achieved compared to the previous period. The special stones are a key component of your good parcel. And good class is achieved. And when you look at that alone, our parcels contain 42% less special stones compared to the previous year. But the price only decreased by 15%, which I think. And you'll see it in the slide that I'll show you later on. We also facilitated the formation of the contractor representative body, which enables proper dialogue between Alex Poe and the contractors. Because in the past, when you just meet with all of them in a hall and have debates, not structured meetings, I'm happy to say that now we're doing it properly. We have a few people in the room, we discuss key issues that affect the contractors as well as Alex Poe, whether safety related, production related, and other initiatives. And we mean at that. And it helps in developing a proper and good relationship between Alex Poe and the contractors. Unlike in the past, where there was an element of antagonism between the two parties. As you can see there, we've reduced the numbers, as I mentioned earlier on, from 73 companies to 36 companies. And we also allow them to operate in areas which were restricted in the past, and also increase the speed to encourage them to move into those areas and not wait to operate in an area where they know they get good revenue, but there are no sea days, so that has worked well for us. We transferred the hospitals, as I mentioned earlier on, and yet to date we realized the savings of $1.5 million. Then the remote technologies I mentioned earlier on, the tool that the guys used could not penetrate the hard rock. Basically, that's how it fails. We had budgeted about 23 million rand of revenue from our operation, and we only got half a million rand. And the subsidization of the land courses is continuing. hopefully the ABC won't be part of it in the near future, as well as the township. Once the township establishment is done, we transfer the township to the Riverfell municipality. That process of subsidizing the township is stopped, which may be, I don't know, until in the near future. Some steps, looking at the performance from different plants. These are on mining crews. The longest bars that you see, the dark blue, that was the performance in 2006, last year. As you can see from April last year, the trend was upwards until September, October, November, and it started coming down. So for a period of 6 months, 8 months or so, we were showing good performance. And the idea was to push that trend all the way to steady performance above 60,000 tons a month. So we almost touched it on two occasions, but it came down. And I think I've covered some of the challenges there. One of them is that we didn't have available blocks to mine at the right grade. If you don't have that, then you mustn't mine. And we don't have that because we didn't do exploration. It's as simple as that. And then you're also using old equipment, which is always, you know, unavailable, breakdown. And to keep it going, you must spend more money. So the equation is that you keep the old equipment going, spend more money, and go and mine blocks, which you don't know anything about. I think that's the recipe for disastrous performance, and we realize that we can't continue like that. And that trend has since come down, and we also made our recommendations to the board, which I'll cover later on, based on this kind of analysis. And actually, attempts that we made to improve the performance. We didn't just give up. We gave it our best shot, we had the best plans, bearing in mind, you know, the constraints that we have, and it's a reality. That's Alex puts on color production. Again, you see the same trend. The tall bars commencing in 2006 April, going up. We're targeting a level of 1,000 carats a month. We did achieve it on almost five occasions. We average about 800 carats a month from our own crews, which is very good compared to 100 previously a month. And the level that we are at now, you can see the greenish bars, that's where we are now, which is way below our previous year's performance. Again, it's due to the same reasons that I gave you earlier on. That good performance led to a reduction in extra land per cubic cost. You can see 2005-2007, there was a downward trend on those blue bars. The target was that line, if you recall, the 26 cent cubic. So we're going there. But again, this year, you know, because we stopped the mining small scale, but we're carrying costs, and then the land plan is high. Same with the cut of grades. The more tons you mine in a block that's got some grade, and if you mine efficiently, your cut of grade comes down. And now that trend has also reversed. This is the slide that I referred to earlier on. The bars shown under single buyer from 0504 to 0603, that's the year 2005 April to 2006 March. That's the price we received from Dandel. You can see it was on only on two occasions, but maybe on four occasions, that we got a price of about $500 a carat, only on five occasions. And then you look from March 2006, that's when we started selling the diamonds in the open market. We achieved a price about $650 on eight occasions. So that's how you must look at that slide and see that's why the top 500 achieve it all the time. The past 15 times or so. Which on its own tells you what happened in the past and the missed opportunity. It shows us trend in like that figure. This is just a slide you can get through some of the things that we've done on the financial reporting to streamline the capturing of data, analysis, and doing our monthly and quarterly reports. This is some of the challenges that were highlighted earlier on. We can start by looking at a triangle, which it's a geological expression. Our ex-chairperson, and as I referred to, he was running late. The main challenge there was the mining on an inferred resource without knowing where you're going. We didn't mine a place block. We're using old equipment and also the continual design of the seabed and the subsidization of the land core business activities. The fixed cost structures result in a lot of internal maintenance and also the ability for the company to attract and retain skilled personnel. That's a big challenge. And as I speak, that remains a challenge. If you look at that triangle, looking at the base of the triangle, 0.63.66, 1 million carats, that's the size of your and in fact, so that information we know from the previous sampling, which according to today's standards and evaluation methods, you can't rely on that previous information. You need to go and verify it. You need to use that information to come up with some sampling program and exploration program and evaluation methods that are acceptable in terms of your level of confidence from the ore body, and also how you can economically mine and classify this ore body. You do have 15 minutes left,
okay.
But also
of your
presentation.
Then you can see
all our defined mining areas are classified as inferred. We need to push that at least to indicate that the work level is by increasing the confidence of the knowledge by doing some work on the this area. That's the minerals contained. It's not just about showing you the equipment, the capital expenditure, historically. You can see we didn't spend anything in the last 10 years. Very insignificant compared to other mining systems. Last time we spent some significant amount of money was in 96, where we almost spent $2 million on capital investment. And the number of machines that we use, you can see that it's very small. Today is going down from 79 today to about 7 yesterday. We're almost like 8 months into the year. Last year was 22 today. The cost of what we got in 2003 when we made it, the last time we made it. That's what you can see there. You get this information on a daily basis so that the guys can ahead and know when to expect the sea day. The sea day is determined by the swell of the wave and the current as well as the visibility in the new direction. And just to conclude on our personal attempt for us to improve the performance of the company. We believe that we've tried everything that we could as management and we've exhausted those initiatives. There's very limited upside potential from current initiatives. And the only intervention that we take the company for is to get salvation, which is linked to the landscape. And in the interim, we operate at a loss. Some options are because we went to the board and presented the same information that I'm presenting here. And the board resolved that we need to continue APT, we need to place land mining on the same landscape, and to change the workforce that's related to those two operations. We submitted the TFM application to the shareholder approval in March, and unfortunately we couldn't get approval to continue this program as it was deemed to have an impact on the length of negotiation. Positive developments, I think the ratification of the deed assessment by the court on the 8th of December is a great development for the company and the community. I think Anthony has covered some of those key issues there. The main one is that the building insurance and venture should commence operating and develop long-term business plans for the company. Those are some of the features for the agreement. Transfer of land and buildings in the community, establish Arizona Bay as a proper township, and also all the assets in that township, the ownership will be transferred to the community, as well as the transfer of ABC. Social contribution includes the value of the hospital, the value of the town, and other ad hoc social grants and programs like ABET, and value of the social worker facilities to assist the community. Those are some of the initiatives under education, health services, HIV AIDS, some of the things that we're doing there. Training and development, which is key, although we're starting to attract the pool of talent that we can develop further. We conduct training for the current staff, especially the low-level employees. Female empowerment, I don't think there are issues there. We have programs to work on that. I think the nice one to highlight, Mr. Hendrick, is the Vessel Corp Women Empowerment Day. That project commenced, and since October 2006, we've actually made some payouts to over half a million rand that came out in the mining in that area, went to the groups. Employment statistics, and this, I think this slide tells you that there's a fundamental problem there that we're facing as a company. If you look at the bottom line, the total number of employees, including contractors, in 2006 it was 1,851, and currently it's 1,100 people. About 650 people have left. This, I think, is a big change, a big drop. And that's employment opportunities that were impacted there. And our employment equity statistics, there's no problem there. If you look at the senior management, professionally qualified, there's a problem there. The lower levels, no problem. Potential for comment, we classify how we're spending in terms of supporting small, medium enterprises. I think we're doing a lot, but we're problem less. And this is my last slide, so giving a summary of the litigation method that we face with currently. The land claim is off the slide now. We used to have it as well. The two remaining ones, the Nobera claim, and the three mining claims. We have the description on the status, where we stand with those two claims, and what extent we've incurred in pursuing these matters. Thank you.
Thank you very much. I'm not sure whether there's still outside. Let me then just take the opportunity to welcome you. understand that you have been asked by Ms. Feng to be here in her state. She had a vacation to be appointed. I don't know in the last few minutes if you want to add anything, make any comments before we start the engagement process.
I think most of the issues that are really presented in Harvard, I believe other people, I think from around, associated from around 1997, when GPP was still talking to public enterprise, and I was appointed chairman of other people in 1999, and I was there until last year. And certainly, over all that period, the issues that have been tabled here, and I think I've been to all the presentations to this committee for that time period, and all the issues here around lack of exploration, recapitalization, all these treatments, and all these things have come part of the agenda that we presented to the committee in 2000 consistently. And certainly, I think from around 2001, the issue of the land claim predominated Alexco, and certainly the verdict that is done until that issue has been resolved. I think at the moment the most positive development is the fact that the land claim is has been settled finally, and that Alexco can then begin to be recapitalized with some companies as a proper plan in place to get the company over. The important thing is that despite all these losses and all these things, Alaska has got about 120 kilometers of coastline that is known to be Tamaulipas. And if you compare what happened over the last 25 years from the last 1927, over that happened in Alaska, I think there is jealousy. You think less than 50% of the diamonds in the ground are possibly in. So, jealousy for potential is there. All you need is investment in exploration, the capture of the company, and maybe that Alexco is basic.
Okay, is there two? Okay. Well, perhaps then what we'll do is we have about 10 minutes. Maybe just to give you the opportunity again, either of you or both of you. We've been talking about recapitalization, for example. It seems to me to be the one consistent thing that we keep veering towards when we talk about the viability of this entity. In your mind, perhaps if you can give us a sense of exactly how much you think needs to be invested in Alexco to do the mining operations in the sense that Mr. Boyle is talking about now. Number two, whether you think that the amount committed by government would be sufficient in the next short-term period or the medium-term, the short-medium-term period going forward. If not, what exactly is Alexco planning to approach government on further, if any? To get to this point, because and I'm saying all of these things, of course, bearing in mind the comments by the auditors from the Ministry of Mining, where they say that given the current state of affairs, it doesn't look like Alexco is a viable entity going forward. So maybe you can just give us your views on that. In a nutshell, basically, what will it take to make this entity viable?
I think on the capitalization plan, we have presented here with the committee the exact breakdown. The question is that I only set the slide now because we know it's irrelevant. The senior dimension now. We also know that the amount that would be allocated is in 300 million, so raise need more or less. For now, we must plan around the 200 million rand, which is out of the deal of settlement.
No, that's not what I'm asking.
Yeah.
I'm asking you, in your view, in your opinion, as the CEO,
yeah,
in your expert view, what would it take to turn this thing around? What would you need in terms of equipment? How much would that cost? And why would you need that equipment? So that we, given a global sense, just of your personal views, it may not necessarily be endorsed by the board, it may not be necessarily endorsed by management, but just what do you think it is?
We had the 3-year cap program, which has some amount of money for you, for 150 million rand resources. And in the first year, we had planned to spend about 188 million. In the next year, about 100 million, and the balance in the third year. That was our plan. And the activities entail maintaining the current operations, because you don't want to stop the operations. You want to upgrade the existing operations, if you like. Spend about 50 million on the marine, acquiring the right technology there, which we did a bit of research on. We identified the potential there. 50 million for that. I think another 40 million rand to sustain the current current operation. 100 million rand for exploration for in the first year. So about 190 million rand. And then 100 million in the following year, just to, especially on exploration, continue with work, because you need at least 2 to 3 years exploration to have a sustainable operation in the long term plan. Those are the numbers. From the back of my head, I remember them very well. But as I say, right now it's irrelevant. And then your second point on the amount committed by the state is sufficient in the short term. Our short term, the way we define it, was up to the end of the 31st of March 2008. And we're getting very close to that. We have another 5 months to go. So that's the 5 months. Yes, for the 5 months, it looks sufficient when we do our forecast. We have a little bit of cash in the bank. And it's also encouraging that in the last week or so, we've had some sea days, and we get another 11 million revenue this month, which will go a long way in making sure that we cushion and we'll get about 5.1 million rand next, and then buy us another month if you like, and extend that short term period, maybe beyond, slightly beyond, with a bit of life, and also hope for more days. The cost, we can't do much about. The revenue, that 5.1 million rand, can you go over today, whenever you have it. And so far we've been lucky. We had some this week, and we also had, and there's a forecast that we may have some in the weekend. So that's how the reality is very hard. I think the question you're asking is, the concern is what happened then beyond the 31st of March next year. This was a short-term funding so that we get a date where the 200 million rand is available and then start moving the new one. And I think Anthony can answer when that is.
Yes, I can just to provide a few more details on that 200 billion capitalization. This 200 billion is Alesco's contribution to the capitalization of the Pullman share in joint venture. And like I mentioned before, we're working to expedite the establishment of the PSCV. And once the joint board is working, they will work out a business plan which will set out the funding requirements for subsequent years. The 200 million is the initial capital contribution for Alesco. But by the end of this financial year, the joint board of the PSCV should have a business plan that will set out funding requirements to constitute a viable mining operation.
But that's just a ring fenced for the joint venture.
Yes, it is.
200 that we're now talking about. what I'm talking about is something that sustains Alice Corp as a whole operation, not just the land mining operation, which is part of this consortium. What is government committing over the next few years as far as the requirements are concerned? And we've heard now that what is needed is the amount of over 300 million over the next few years if you were to really deal with Alexcor in a substantive way and a substantive way to make it more viable. And I understand part of the reason, and we're getting to that a bit later, part of the reason for poor performance is things like lack of exploration equipment, just not being able to do what it's meant to do. Given the reliance on the river sector, for example, one would imagine that when you do have a feeder, you should have equipment going out there working full force operationally and so on. And if you're working with the limping equipment, then clearly, you know, I mean, I'm not a business person, but even I can see that. I'm a lawyer which you can work.
In the medium term, all mining operations will not be carried out by Alexcor, but they will be carried out by the joint venture between Alexcor and the IRC under the control of the joint core.
Even marine operations?
Yes. The setup of the joint venture is that the land mining right, which the community will hold once they're transferred, will be put together with the sea mining rights of Alexcor and all the other infrastructure that Alexcor currently has. And they will constitute a joint mining venture. So the PSJV will conduct all mining operations in the medium term. So Alexcor, in the meantime, will also undergo a restructuring program that come up with a model that will basically be in line with the participation in the PSA.
Sounds to me like Alexcor is defunct.
No, it is not defunct. It is participating in the joint venture. So the mining operation will be run by the joint venture.
Let's have tea, and we'll come back, and the members can prepare your questions and have the interactive session on these and other issues and all that. Just check if the tea is out there in the same amount, because if it isn't, we're not there. Let's take a few questions first on this subject initially, and then we'll have a proper session. Don't let's go into too many other aspects, because we're going to have to break the tea, and it's going to break the momentum of your questions. You had a question, Mr. Wong, on this matter, and then Mr. Van Dijk, and then Mr. Gordon.
That's just thanks for clarification on with this joint venture that's setting up. That the guy working with, the company working with, is it those contractors that were doing the work earlier? Or the different people?
The joint venture that Alexcor will enter is with the Eastern Community Mining Company.
What about the contractors that are currently mining for Alexcor?
The joint venture may utilize them.
May or may not. You're not sure at this stage, because obviously that's not subject to go to the negotiation. Okay. Mr. Sandai?
She does not have questions in general, not
specifically. No, specifically to this one. Mr. Lola?
Thank you very much, Mr. President. I'll be interested to know as to on this Alexcor thing, how much percent is government going to have in the whole joint venture?
51% through Alexcor.
Oh, okay.
Because that's part of the agreement with the Rixos Health Community Work Office. I've got the
Chair, the question is not specific to the order.
Can we come back to them then? Yes, sir.
I just want to check the following question. Well, one would assume that by now we should be have a program because we are saying we're going to the joint venture as we have indicated. What is the plan for argument's sake if the joint venture is going to come into play March 2008? What they need to follow when if that does not happen, then what happens? I think the broader view in terms of that, because current I don't see it coming. And we know that some of these processes sometimes they are prolonged because of one reason or another. So just to get the forecast in terms of your understanding, because maybe the chair will be correct to say to the fund that come end of March 2008, if she comes.
The deal of settlement was signed on the 22nd of May. It provided for an interim joint board that was going to pass a resolution for the formation of the PFJV. This resolution was passed on the 31st of August, and subsequently the deal of settlement was made and order of court on the 9th of October. Once the resolution for the formation of the joint venture, once that was concluded, it now provides the basis. It clearly indicates how the joint venture is going to work. Now, we are in the process of expediting the appointment of the joint board, and they will immediately start work. The target is that before the end of this financial year, and this we've also committed to National Treasury, we will have a business plan that clearly shows us the projections and targets that this joint venture will be working to.
By when, sorry?
By the end of the financial year. But at that point, at the beginning of the 2008 financial year, that's in April, the initial cost contribution of Alex for the 200 million will be made available so that the PFJ will start to work.
The 200 million, this has got nothing to do with the cash that was part of the settlement with the Rixos Health Community. Was it? That wasn't, how much did you settle for?
In terms of cash payments to the community, there was 190 million, which was liberation, compensation for diamonds that were extracted previously. And then there was 50 million, which is a development grant to the community for them to revitalize the agriculture and agriculture enterprises. This 200 million is separate from those two amounts. Those two amounts are paid directly to the Rixos community, and the 200 million will be the contribution into the joint venture.
The other question, the question the media, that there's a group of people who are unhappy with their payments who are now going to court or threatening to go to court. What would the impact of that be with regard to the settlement?
There was a group of nine people who in the period running up to making the settlement an order of course, a group of nine individuals came up and they were working to prevent the confirmation of the deal of settlement as an order of court. When we went to court, all their concerns were addressed, and the state, the Rixos Health Community, and those nine individuals approached the court jointly. And the deal of settlement was made an order of court.
what is, I mean, there has to be a transitional measure, surely. You said now that you've been so much to thereafter, what happens? You've got this new joint venture thing. So what does that in practical terms mean that mining operations will stop until they decide on this? And surely that's not, I imagine there's a transitional phase that has to kick in after March, so that operations that are currently underway continue.
Yes, the unanimous resolution provides for an interim phase for the establishment, and the members of the joint board will work with the Alexco board in the interim period to start setting up the PFJV and the operations thereof.
There'll be two boards. We have the joint board and we have the Alexco board. And
yeah.
Presumably the community has a separate structure or a committee of some sort to deal with their interests. But on this side of the fence is really the issue. Alexco's board and management continue under Alexco. Is that how it's envisaged? Or do we have an operational team that will be appointed by the joint board, or the joint structure, whatever it is called?
I'll sort of put up an analogy of a holding company, where Alexco is a holding company, and then it's participating, it's participating in the venture with it has 51% controlling net interest capacity. And so that's the sort of structure that would be there. Alexco will remain as
doing
a separate entity.
Doing what?
It will remain as a separate entity with controlling its interest in the PFJV.
What does it need a CEO is what I'm trying to do? What does it need all of these people sitting there? What do they do? If all they're doing is holding, being a holding company for shares in something else, which is effectively dealt with through the construction.
That is why I brought up the analogy of the whole company to protect the interest of Alexco in that venture. Remember, the assets remain.
Will this CEO, in other words, be the CEO in that joint venture? No.
Not in the venture.
Yeah.
No.
That's what you've explained.
Yes.
Now my question is, if Alexco, I can understand a board. But I can't understand each of these functions. What is their job now? And when you say protect the interest, what does that mean on a day-to-day basis? Do they go to the office and sit and wait for some for it?
Well, at this point, that's why I referred earlier to the restructuring program for Alexco that will take into account its participation in the joint venture. That is the exercise that is currently being undertaken. We find a model that will take into account Alexco's participation.
And will this only be finalized come the next financial year?
Before the next financial year, it has to be.
Do people have time?
We are committed to delivering this before the end of the financial year.
Before the end of the financial year. So
by March, the 31.
On the 31st of March, you would have your plan.
Yes. And in the meantime, the options on the restructuring have been explored, and that restructuring will be continued.
Your first stop is when your plan is sorted out before the 31st of March. That gets the message to this committee and presented by the department to this committee for engagement. Okay. So please make a note of that. It's going to be up to you to be in touch with me to tell me that you're now ready to present. And I don't want to hear that you finalized your restructuring plan a month ago and you're now ready to come to the meeting. I want to hear that you finalized your plan, been approved by the executive 2 days ago, and you're now ready to come to the meeting. All right. I'm not sure that we're going to get to this millennium, so I'm going to open up some questions at this rate. Are you checking this for the scooter? Let me take the one question then that you have. What's your name? I'm having trouble enough with everybody sitting in the seat. Please go ahead.
No, Chair. I don't know whether to put more burden, but you see, Chair, the more you talk, the more answers are not coming out clear. That's one thing which I've noticed, which I'm picking up. But maybe, Chair, it's not going to be too much to ask their timeline to finalize the plan. I hear that they might submit the plan when they finalize, but to get their timeline, so that we are also able as the committee to ask the department whether they are meeting the timeline that they put it down to say between this and this and this and this until end of January to March 2008 to finalize the plan. I think that will also be important so that we don't see the plan delaying, but we can be able to pick it up early that you are not moving according to your own schedules and so on.
No, I think you mean we actually didn't see it.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. We actually are getting to it, which is great.